Wonderful to be able to gather together, brothers and sisters in Christ once again. Always wonderful to be able to do so. Just love coming together, love our study as we go through Bible class, enjoy as we sing out, teaching, admonishing one another as we've just done so. Wonderful thought as we continue to work in His service till He comes. Just a wonderful thought of Jesus returning and being gathered together with Him and with the other saints to go to that home up above. I know I haven't put a reading schedule out. And those who follow me on Facebook probably have noticed. But going through Genesis right now for the chapter of the day and doing my verses of the day. And just time and again, as we go through the Word of God, there's so many times my mindset just goes to wow. About who our God is and what He can do and what He has done and what He's promised to be. Just wow. And sometimes we get away from that, and I don't think we really should. And a point of not forgetting how great, how awesome, how powerful our God is and who we are to Him. So I'd like to take the time aside this morning and just look at that and go forth and talk about that. And so to start off is to look right there in Genesis and point out that He is our Creator. And the wow factor that should take place as we go through that of a God who created all things. You go through in Genesis 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He created the heavens and the earth. In verse 5 it says, "And God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. And there was evening, and there was morning the first day." God created time. Time. He created it. He's outside of time. You just sit back and truly think that there was a point in which, and where God is now, outside of time. Because He's still there, and He's going to be there at the end of time. He still dwells, and will always dwell. And just trying to concept that, truly think about it. And I know that there are just many movies, shows that talk about eternal people that live forever, and that have experienced over the ages of time everything, and that our God is that. God has been there since before time, and He's the one that created. As you go through and you read throughout the rest of this and everything that God had created, that He goes forth and creates the birds of the sky and the fish of the sea and all living creatures upon this earth and then dwell and walk up on it. God created them. Just how great and how awesome that is. Mankind is always continuously trying to figure out what it is, the next thing that we can create, the next thing that we can make. And we've done some, I believe, amazing things and some creative things and maybe some stuff you've done on your own. When I was in high school, and for a while, I did a decent amount of woodwork, not so much more these days, but I used to create things and always build things, and it was always fun and amazing. Just recently redid a bathroom and through a lot of help and guidance through others. But again, the things that we can accomplish ourselves, we can sit there and go, wow, you did a great job. Wow, you did something there. But nothing in comparison to what God has done and what God can do. He's created all things. And in John chapter 1 and in verse 3, that's what our Lord says, or what is told here in John chapter 1, is that everything was made through our Lord and Savior. John 1 and in verse 3, as it goes forth and it says, "All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made." Nothing was made without Him. You go to Colossians 1, verses 15 through 16. Again, it's a very similar passage there. Again, saying nothing was made without Him. But it goes even further. Even the visible and the invisible things, the things we can see and the things we cannot see. Again, talking about heaven, and we know that there's a place called hell, a place of torment. And we've never seen angels or we've never seen demons. And you know, the air in itself, wind, we see the wind blowing through the grass and the trees and everything, but we can't actually see wind. Yet, God's the one that created it all. And through our Lord and Savior, Jesus created everything. I mean, just how wonderful that is. Go to Psalm 148, 148th Psalm. It says, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights. Praise Him, all His angels. Praise Him, all His hosts. Praise Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, all you shining stars. Praise Him, you heights of heavens and you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for He commanded and they were created. So it includes even the angels there, it says. We know that they're a little higher than we are in power. Just God created all these things. God created everything. Mountains and hills and trees and all cedars, beasts and livestock, creeping things and flying birds. God created it all. If we don't take time to step back and say, wow, how powerful God must be. How great and awesome He truly must be. And again, I didn't put in there Revelation 21 and read about what heaven must be like, because He's created that. Jesus in John 14 says, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come and receive you again. And so what is it that Jesus is preparing? How great is that going to be? Have we lost the amazement of how great our God is, how great our Lord and Savior is? Not just how great He was because He created all these things, and now, you know, like me, I don't create anything else, and now my amazement is gone. He's still amazing. He's still that powerful. He still has the authority over all these things. You know, as we go through Genesis and you read through it here, we're in chapter 9 right now for today, and chapter 8 yesterday in the reading. Verse 22 says, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. How can God say that? Because He's in control still. Because He still has power over all things. And I know that through what we have done, we might affect some stuff upon this earth. We're not going to be the ones that destroy this world. God's in control over them. God has power over all things of this world. He controls the sun and the moon. He controls the weather. He's in control of it all. He can do what He desires with it. He can stop it at any time. And He says, as long as the earth remains, these things will not stop. We'll always have a night and day. We'll always have the hot season and the cold season. We'll always have a planting season and a harvest season. It will always be there. God can make that promise. I mean, if anyone else here today said, I promise this is what I'm going to keep. Look, how are you going to do that? How can you hold that promise? But God made that promise. God looked at Noah and He made a covenant with all creatures of this world and all mankind. And He put a rainbow in the sky as a sign of the covenant, a reminder to us and a reminder to Him. The power that our God has. Sometimes we might go by that rainbow and just not blink an eye. I tell you, there's sometimes they go by the rainbow and you get the excitement of some of the kids and you get the double one, you get one that's real bright. And it's an amazing. And to remember that God is the one that put the bow in the sky. God is the one that made where the sunlight through the water shines that beautiful rainbow so that we can see it from time to time here on earth and how it all works together through science, the way God made it. I think how wonderful our God is. Jesus had the power to calm the storm in Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4 and verse 37. Mark 4 and verse 37, it says here, And a great windstorm arose, and waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern asleep on the cushion, and they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. He said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" How many yesterday or this morning have said, "Rain, stop. Stop raining." Did it stop? As soon as you said it, Jesus said, "Peace, be still. Calm down. Stop." And it did. It ceased. Was done. You might read this and think, "Oh, this is kids." The power that it shows that our Lord has and still has should just, wow, this is the God we serve. This is the God we serve. And it says, great fear came upon them. And again, in the mindset of, if we're not right in the sight of God, this is the person we got to sit judgment seat. He's going to judge us. I mean, who is it that can command the sea, that can command the weather? Look at everything he takes care of. Matthew chapter 6. And in verse 26. It says, "Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valued than they? And which of you, being anxious, can add a single hour to the span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is today is alive and tomorrow thrown in the oven, how much more will he clothe you, of you little faith?" Again, God takes care of all these things. Again, I love hunting. I haven't shot nothing this year, this hunting season. Don't give hope on me. I still got a week to get something with the bow. But even when I don't get anything, when I see the nature, watching the squirrels, watching the birds, watching a bunny run back and forth, and especially when I do see deer, it's amazing. It's fun. It's exciting. Time and again how I come home and I tell Casey, "That's probably one of the most exciting hunts. I didn't get to shoot anything. I didn't get a shot off at anything. But when I saw the deer come in and they came in this direction, then they went around and you have to sit so still so you don't spook them off. It's amazing. All of which God has created and blessed us to have dominion over. And how they work naturally and take care of themselves, but yet, as it's saying here, they're not really God's taking care of them. Why? Because God's the one that makes sure it rains. God's the one that's making sure the sun comes out. He's making sure that they have what is needed. He's the one that allows those trees to grow and give them acorns and blesses them. God, he's that powerful to take care of all these things. And he is still powerful that one day he will destroy this world. That is who our God is in 2 Peter 3 and in verse 10. 2 Peter 3 and in verse 10. It says, "But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved in the earth, and the works are done, and it will be exposed." I mean, verse 12 says, "Waiting and hasting the coming of the day of God, because which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, and the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn." There's nothing going to be left. That is the power God has. That is what he's going to do one day. Again, just the wow factor that comes into that. That's our God. But to go even further, a God that cares so much for this world and has done so much for it and establishing it and creating it and making it just... How many times do I tell the kids to stay away from something because they're not the ones that made it, they're not the ones that paid for it, they're not... And don't mess it up. But God cares for us. This God that created everything, all mankind, He cares for you, you individually. Again, how much wow there is in knowing that God personally knows who I am. God personally knows who I am, knows about me, knows when I was born, knows how many hairs are on the head, my head. Wow. Creator of everything. Cares about me individually because He made us in His image. In Genesis chapter 1, going back there to the creation, as He creates all things, and again, He's made some wonderful creations. He's made some beautiful things and some beautiful creatures upon this earth. And then He creates mankind. He says, we're going to make something special, right? Something even more special than the biggest fish of the sea and the biggest creature upon the world. And the birds that can fly in the sky, we're going to make something even more special than those. Because He says here in verse 26, He says, then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens, over the livestock, over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created them male and female. He created them. God blessed us greatly to have dominion over all things, everything else that He's created upon this earth. Everything else. To bless us, to be able to use it for our needs and our necessities and see how we have use for it. And again, you go to Genesis 9, 6, after God has flooded the world, Noah had made his sacrifice, and you get here, and in verse, go up to verse 4, it says, but you shall not eat the flesh with its life, that is blood, and for your lifeblood I will require reckoning, and every beast I will require, and from man, from his fellow man, I will require reckoning of life of man. Let me go to verse 3. I'll read verse 6 in a second. Verse 3 says, every moving thing that lives shall be food for you, and as I gave you green plants, I gave you everything. And so here again, He's allowing us to use the animals He created to kill and eat. And the plants that he put up on this earth to take up out of the ground and use it to eat. To take certain things to use for medication. And what He's blessed us with here. But He does care how we treat one another. In verse 6 it says, whoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed. For God made man in His own image. He says, look, I created all these things for you to use. So that you can live your life upon this earth. Go ahead and use the animals, use the plants, take and do as you need to do. But man was made in God's image. He created us a little more special. Again, wow. How much He cares for us. Again, going back to Matthew chapter 6, He says He took care of the birds, He takes care of the lilies of the field. How much more, He says, how much more will He take care of you? Because everything else is here now, but it's going to be burnt up at the end of time. Thrown into the furnace is what it says. Everything's going to be dissolved and gone. All other creatures, this entire world. And again, I make that statement, is what a wonderful creation of His. Because there's so many things that, again, that I haven't even seen, just pictures of, right? I know there's some here that has seen the Grand Canyon or the Niagara Falls or other great monuments of this country or this world. And I've flown once and I've been to the Rocky Mountains and Smoky Mountains. And it's just beautiful. He's gonna throw it in the trash. It's going to be thrown away. Burn up, gone. But not you. Not you. He says, How much more does he care for you? How much more is he willing to go and take care of you who was made in his image, who has an eternal soul? How much more does he care for us? As we read before the giving this morning, John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he loves the world. And it's not speaking about this world of creation, but speaking about mankind, that he gave his only begotten son. That's how much he cares for you, that he gave his only son. And he still loves you and cares for you so much that he is patient with us, as we see in 2 Peter 3 verse 9, just before verse 10 that we've already read about him coming as a thief in the night and destroying the world. In verse 9, he says he is long-suffering. He is patient, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Why? Because in 1 Timothy 2:4, he wants everyone to be saved. He wants you to be saved. He wants you to turn to him so that he can wash your sins away, so that he can set a room in heaven for you, so that you can live an eternal life of joy with him. And that's how much he cares for you. And yes, I mean you. Individually, you. He cares about you. In Luke 15, in verse 7. Luke 15, in verse 7. It says, just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. It says God cares so much for the one person that is here this morning that needs to repent of their sins, that has not yet come to him for forgiveness of sins. And if you're willing to do that this morning, there will be more joy. There will be rejoicing with the angels over your choice to give yourself over to God, to wash your sins away. Whether it is you've fallen back into sin and you ask for forgiveness and you repent and turn away, there's more rejoicing than for the rest of those who have repented of their sins already. Because he cares so much for those who are lost. If that includes you, we extend the invitation to you. Because God wants to forgive you. God wants you to repent. God does not want to punish anyone, but he is a just God, and he will grant your decision whether you choose to obey him or to disobey. So again, it's amazing how great of a God we all have, how loving he is, how forgiving he is. Don't pass up the opportunity that he has blessed you with, the opportunity to have your sins forgiven. So if you're here and you need to be baptized, or if you need the prayers of the congregation, whatever it is we can do for you, let it be known. Stand. Mm-hmm.